We're channel again, Joy. It's the television program's on channel 53. If you got Time Warner Cable, where you can get that channel. So anyway, they changed it. It was 58, was 13, and now it's 53. So anyway, but pray about it. Ask the Lord to use it for His glory, and it is His glory. And may, if one person gets saved, it'll be worth it all. Alright, in Ephesians chapter 1, now, I want to just use this verse and then we're going to look at some other passages. But I think it's important for people to see God's purpose. What's the cause of all of this? David asked the question. He went over there when his brothers, his daddy sent him over there, and they was in Saul's army and they were fighting the Philistines, and Goliath was standing down in there and he was defying the armies of Israel. And you got to realize Goliath was probably close to 10 feet tall. No doubt weighed several hundred pounds. Huge. I mean, would you go down and face somebody like that? I mean, you couldn't even... His arms would be long as your body. Big. And he's down there and he's saying, send your champion out. If you've got somebody, and if you can defeat me, we'll be your servants. If I defeat your champion, you can be my servants. Now, them little Israelites was up there, and they were, nobody didn't want to go, and they didn't know what to do. And old David comes up, and he says, to his brothers, he said, what's this uncircumcised Philistine doing down there? And they told him, and they told what Saul would do for the man that goes down there. Saul was going to offer a big reward and give his daughter to the man that went down there and slayed that giant. And so David looks at him, and his older brother says, well, I know you. What are you doing down here? You wanting to nose around down here? Why ain't you back there with them sheep? And he said the question, is there not a cause? And he goes up there and he tells Saul, I'll go, don't worry about it. I'll go down there and I'll defeat this man. But you got to remember something. People look at David as a little boy, and they pictures show him as a little boy with a sling. This little boy had already killed a lion. This little boy had already slayed a bear with his bare hands. This little boy had already been anointed king of Israel. This man, he wasn't a little boy, he was a young man that was the king of Israel, that was anointed by God. And he goes down there. I liked what he said, and I think they made a song out of it, of Isaac's or something, you know, I come in the name of the Lord or something like that. And he kills. Well, what's our cause? I mean, why did God leave us here, and why did God establish a church here? I mean, look around you, folks. Number of squirrels and deers and trees. We're not in a big metropolitan area or cities and thousands of people. He planted us here. What's our cause? Why did God, when He saved you, not just take you out of this world? Why did He leave you here? Is there not a cause? Well, there is a cause. And there is a purpose for you being here. And Ecclesiastes says there's a purpose for everything under the sun. Now look in Ephesians chapter 1, and you can go down through this chapter and you can see the will of God and the purpose of God for the body of Christ, and you can know why you're here. Look with me in there, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of whose will? His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him, not your purpose, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Why are we here? It's His will for us to be here. Why are you here? It's His will for you to be here. Why did you come today? His will. Why are you left here on this earth? His will. For His purpose. Not your purpose. Not for you. For Him. Why did He save you? Not for you. He saved you for Him. Everything's about Him. Everything's about Christ. We want everything to center around us. But folks, everything God's will and purpose is to center around Christ. God saved you for Christ's sake. Not for your sake. Now I'm glad He saved us. Amen. Look on. Look down, He said in verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Well, one of the purposes is the praise of His glory. One of the reasons why God left you here is for His glory. His praise. He's going to show this world. He demonstrates through you, oh sinners, that deserve to be in hell, that deserve the wrath of God. But God didn't give us what we did. He saved us by His grace. That demonstrates His grace. That shows His grace to us and to this world. That's for His praise and His glory. But when you boast in what you do and what you're going to do or what you have done, and you think that that's the reason God done what He done, it takes glory away from Him. Folks, He didn't do what He did for us because of us. He did it for His glory. And He's God. He can do whatever He wants to do. But let's go on. Look in verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance under the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. Look down with me in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Look back with me now. So what is the whole thing? Verse 10 is his purpose. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That's his purpose. His purpose, his will, is to gather the whole universe and everything that he created and have that centered in the Lord Jesus Christ, and have the Lord Jesus Christ have dominion and reign and be the center of it all. That's his purpose. So you have two things. You have heaven and what? Earth. So there is a heavenly people, there is a earthly people. And to understand what this Bible is about, the theme of this Bible is a king and a kingdom. And it has to do with this earth, and it has to do with heaven. The very first verse in the Bible gives you that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's it. And what we look at, and he's going to bring it back under his authority and under his headship. And the headship is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's his purpose. Now, I want you to see, first of all, and probably next Sunday we'll go into a little bit on this, but turn with me and look at the redemption plan and see how it comes out. Turn to Leviticus chapter 23. In Leviticus chapter 23. There are some days back here that I think show you the purpose of God Almighty throughout all the Bible laid out in one chapter. Now in Leviticus 23, notice verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein, it is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, nobody kept the Sabbath before this. They just didn't do it. Most people don't know what the rest of the Lord is. But anyway, I'm not going to go. Well, I'll just give you a little bit of it. Turn with me to Psalm. I believe it is. You ever see Psalm 132? All right, Psalm 132. Notice in verse 13. Psalm 132, verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He had desired it for his habitation. The Lord's going to live there. This is my, what? Rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Where does God desire rest at? 6 days. He says in the law, in Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Why? Because God created everything in 6 days, and the seventh day He rested. What is His rest? He didn't get tired. He's God. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He don't get tired. His rest is when He dwells in the land that He's got His eye on, in Zion over there, and that thing's like that pyramid, and He's coming down, and one day He's going to set it down over there, and His habitation's going to be over there. And you see it in Revelation chapter 21. You see the new Jerusalem, the city of God, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride for a husband, and He's going to set down over there, and God's going to rest over there. And it was given to Israel. The Sabbath was a reminder of what He's going to do on this earth. I mean, folks, think about it in Numbers 15. A man goes out and picks up sticks on the Sabbath day. You know what happened to him? They stoned him. You know, after that, God told them to tie a blue ribbon on their garments to remind them of the law. Have you ever heard of blue laws? What was a blue law? You couldn't open your stuff. You couldn't do stuff. They didn't open stores. Blue laws had to be closed on Sabbath, on Sunday. They thought that was the Sabbath. They was trying to keep the law. They just had the wrong day. Sabbath is on Saturday. Sunday was the first day of the week. But anyway, the point is, God's rest is when He's coming down. Now, back in Leviticus chapter 23, He says, these are the feast days. Verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations which ye shall proclaim in their season. The 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. All right, I got the first month. I got the 14th day, right? Now, what is that? Huh? Let's read it again. The 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. All right? And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye shall eat. So I got the 14th. Then I got the 15th. This right here is Passover. Now you know why it's called Passover? We sing that song. Are y'all, let's see, are y'all that, what's going on? Y'all not even paying, y'all listening to me at all, or are you? What is the song we sing that's got, when they put the blood on the doorpost, remember, on the side of the post, and in Egypt, and he said, when I see the blood, I'll what? Pass over you. So it was the offering of a lamb. Okay? Then the 15th day is the feast of what? Unleavened bread. Now what does that represent? Well, it's purifying. Leaven in the Bible, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, is a type of sin. Get rid of the leaven. Come down with me and look at it. So this would run the 15th through the 7 days would be what? 21st? Unleavened bread. Now notice, I see verse, I see. First day in the verse 7, In the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. You do no civil work. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. The seventh day is a holy convocation. And the word convocation is simply Sabbath. And they had a Sabbath for a lot of things. You should do no work therein. Speak unto the verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I will give you, ye shall reap the harvest thereof. Then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Now verse 10 there, so you have the first fruits, right? Huh? Notice back in verse 8, the verse 7. In the first day, well, that'd be, I'm going to put 16. First fruits. So this runs through the unleavened 7 days, but during this week here, this, the 16th comes and you have a wave on first fruits. Then you come over to verse 15, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheave of the wave offering, that would be back where he offered the offering made before wave offering, shall be 7 Sabbaths shall be complete, and that would be what? Be 40, count 40 Sabbaths, be what, 49? 49 days, right? And you have what? What would be the next day? 50 days, and what is that? Pentecost, wasn't it? Huh? Right? All right. Let's go 50 days, verse 16. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Now, all this takes place in this first month, which is April. Nisan has changed, but it's really our March April thing in here. I just put April since April's a great. It's March April, but we just use April on the 14th day, and it runs all the way over 50 some days. And then there is a gap. And I'm running out of board. Now, you know what this is a type of? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's see what we got. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice in verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Spiritual. But, what is Passover? It's the cross, isn't it? What happened after the cross? Did he get rid of sin? Unleavened bread. He goes down. Does away with the sin. First fruits. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. First fruits. Okay? We're here at the Pentecost. Acts chapter 1 or 2. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, one heart. 50 days, Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is given. And so He comes down on the day of Pentecost here. This is His first coming. Now, I don't have enough room to go, but let's look on. Look with me back in Leviticus. And we'll tie it all together. And Leviticus, notice in verse 24. Leviticus 23, 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month. Now, wait a minute. This was the first month, right? All this took place in the first month. Then we jump to the seventh month. And I'm going to come down here and I'm going to take my... I'll just take my gap off of here. Then we come back here and I'll put the gap down here. And then we come to the seventh month. So there's a gap in there of several. Notice he said in verse seventh month, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of the trumpets. So the first day is what? Then you have, verse 27. And on the tenth day of this month, seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. Then on the tenth day is atonement. At one. I'll just put atonement. All right. Look back in there again in verse, 34. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the what? All right, on the 15th day is the Feast of Tabernacles. Got in all them seven feasts, you got God's redemptive plan for heaven and earth. You got God's timeline all the way across. This right here is the second coming. It's the second coming. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. And I don't have time to run all the references, But trumpets had to do with gathering. The children of Israel, they would have a gather, God told them to make two silver trumpets. One was for alarm, one was for battle, one was to blow it different, they'd blow them different ways, and one was to call in the assembly. Notice in Matthew 24, in verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. That's not the rapture. That's the gathering together of the nation Israel. Look back with me in chapter 13, verse 30. Matthew chapter 13, verse 30. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 30, notice what he said. Look in verse 29, but he said, "Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat." In other words, there was tares among the wheat. "Let both grow together under the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn," kingdom. Verse 39, look in verse 38. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. In other words, when the trumpets blow, that was the reap. That's the gathering in of the nation Israel. And they're going to be gathered back into Palestine over there. It's a supernatural gathering. It's not what's taking place now. It's something that's supernatural. And it's something that has to do with God's angels bringing them back into that land over there. I don't have time to keep on going, but look again and notice this thing about the Day of Atonement, the regathering of Israel. Turn with me to Acts. In Acts, and also take Zechariah. In Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and get Zechariah. And Zechariah is right close to Matthew. Just go to your left, you'll come to Malachi, Zechariah. And look in Zechariah chapter 13. In Zechariah chapter 13. This is a reference to the second coming of Christ. Now, in the second coming of Christ, he's going to gather back. And folks, you know, his first coming covered 33 years. You can't distinguish that in the Old Testament. Because there's parts of his, when he was born, and there's parts when he's died, and verses right together. And they're 33 years apart. And the second coming, people's got, I don't know why they think that, boom, it's just going to be a split. I mean, folks, his coming could come in waves, just like the first coming. And there was a silent years in those first coming. From the time he was 12 to the time he was 30, there's nothing said about it. There's 7 years of tribulation at the end of the tribulation. But folks, when the church is gone, there could be a time lapse in there and things could happen to fulfill prophecy that's even not a part of the 7 years. Lord ain't bound by man's theology. All right, look with me here. Zechariah, "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness." Verse 1. "And it shall come to pass in that day," second coming, "saith the Lord of hosts, "that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. and they shall no more be remembered. And I will also cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. Now tell me something. Do you reckon that's a split second thing? Boom, they're gone. I mean, this thing's going to be opened up for what? For to the house of David, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness. It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. Come down with me, let's look at some of this thing. Notice in chapter 14, Zechariah 14, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. The residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth, fight against those nations, and when he is fought in the day of battle, his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Folks, that's after he's fought. Zechariah says his garments is going to be dripping with blood. He's going to travel the king's highway. Isaiah says, who is that that cometh from Bozrah? Bozrah is south of the Dead Sea. Don't you understand? He's coming down in there south of the Dead Sea just like he brought the children of Israel out. And as he's going, the armies is gathered together in there and he's fighting them. He's killing them right and left. And when he gets up there to Jerusalem, he is drenched, soaking, drenched with blood, and his sword is bathed with blood. It's day after day of killing, killing, killing. Read it. And he walks up there on the Mount of Olives. Now, let me ask you something. Hadn't you always thought that when the second coming of Christ came and the Lord came down out of heaven, his feet, first place he's going to touch is the Mount of Olives? And that's not so. He's coming up through the king's highway fighting and battling. And like I said, well, I don't have time to give you all the references to this thing. But this thing's covering time. Now look at this. Go back with me. Look in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, notice what he says. Verse 18, but those things which God hath before showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. When do they get their sins blotted out? They get their sins blotted out at the second coming of Christ. They get their sins blotted out over here at the second coming. The trumpets blow, they gather the Israel together, and finally he comes down in there, the armies is gathered together against him, and they're going to fight against him. He's riding on a white horse. Revelation 19 says it's a stallion. He's coming down through there, and the sword, and Paul says, rest with us. He's in flaming fire, going to take vengeance on them that know not God. And when he comes down in there, south of the Dead Sea, in Bozrah, do you not know that that's where Nathan and Abihu and them were swallowed up in the mouth of the Lord of the earth? Do you not know that there is a mouth over there of the earth, and it's a shaft that runs all the way down into the heart of the earth, and that shaft has bars on it, and it has a gate on it, and it's got a key to it, and the angel unlocks the gate of the bottomless pit? And folks, that's right over there south of the Dead Sea, and that's where the lake of fire is going to be, and he's going to night that lake of fire, and it's going to burn, and the sand is going to turn to pitch, and they're going to look at the carcasses in there, and folks, he's going to come and go up through there and kill, kill, kill. And blood is going to run to the horse's bridle. And this world thinks there's something. They ain't met the captain of my salvation yet. They can make fun all they want to, but you wait till the line. They can do anything with that babe in a manger, but they can't do much with the Lion of Judah. You wait till the lion roars out of Zion. You think they got something now. Man, they ain't got Day of Atonement. Look in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Notice in verse 25, "But I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, under the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." They get their sins took away at the second coming of Christ, and you know what's next? What's next? The feast of what? Tabernacle. God, that's the kingdom, folks. God's going to tabernacle with them. The kingdom over here. And they're going to go into that kingdom over there and rule and reign on this earth. That's the plan for Israel is. Now, where do you fit at? You're in the gap. This here is a mystery hid in God from before the foundation of the world. This is from the foundation of the world. Before. Because I spelled them different. We're in the gap. This has to do with the nation Israel on earth and bringing the earth under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But here's a secret that God had in mind. And He put that gap in His redemptive program. And that gap is the body of Christ. And we going to bray out into the heavens out there and bring the heavens and the universe and all the planets and all the God's creation out there under the headship and oneness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Got a different inheritance. Your inheritance ain't to be the mayor of Harmony. Who'd want to be the mayor of Harmony anyway? Or Charlotte or Statesville anyway. I hear people say, "Boy, I'm going to come back in the kingdom and be the president of the United States." Who would want it? I don't want to step down from my position as a preacher to be the president. Who'd want that? Well, you ain't going to get it anyway. You might pass through. But you're going to be, folks, don't you understand? You're going to be conformed to the image of His Son. You're going to be like Jesus Christ. And you're going to rule the heavens out there and the principalities out there and take over the territories and the kingdoms out there. And you might have a world just like this under your domain. And as a son of God, you might be in charge of a whole planet. And people worrying about the city of gold. There is a purpose. You know why we're still here? Because there's one more somewhere that needs to be saved. that needs. So this gap, we're in this gap. And old Paul's in this gap, and he's, old Moses up here. Moses, I think, how long did the law, I think, what did Moses preach, about 1,500 years? Huh? Old Moses preached about 1,500 years. You know how long Paul's been preaching? He's been preaching 2,000 years. Longer than any dispensation. And I think about that in Acts every time I think about that. And Paul, after long preaching, that guy falls out of a third law. Hits the earth. And there he is dead. And everybody's standing around and nobody can help him. And old Paul goes down there and raises him up. You know what that's a type of? That's a type of the church. Paul was called up to paradise, third heaven. Do you know where our inheritance is? It's in the third heaven. But the church today, because Paul's been preaching for so long, they went to sleep and they fell from that lofty position of the heaven. And they've hit the earth and they like the earth. They want to hang on to the earth. They want their inheritance on the earth. They want a city on the earth instead of a planet in heaven. They want a piece of gold instead of a whole mountain of gold. Israel gets the earth and the city. You don't. You get far above all heavens. You get out there where you've never seen, man has never been, and you don't know all the God's creations out there. That's where you're going to bring the rule and authority back under the Lord Jesus Christ. We're still here because somebody else needs the message that we've got. The message that we've got is the hope, the good news for this world. The message other people's got, they got to wait till the second coming to get their sins blotted out. We've been made accepted in the beloved. We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. There is no stopping to this sermon. Because you can just keep it going, 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 going. Like that old bunny rabbit. At Energize, it just keeps on going, 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 going. So shake hands with one another, fellowship, and